Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're getting straight into a really critical strategic tension. It's something facing, well, all senior leaders in UK financial services right now.
Which is?
It's that pull between deploying autonomous AI, you know, for the commercial edge and managing the risks, the regulatory risks, the personal liability risks. They're growing and they're complex.
That tension is definitely driving huge investment. I mean, our source material shows something like 92% of business leaders expect measurable AI returns within just 2 years. That's fast.
It is fast.
But that speed, that push for efficiency, it fundamentally changes your operational risk profile, doesn't it? If you transform that quickly, your governance has to keep pace. It needs to be just as rigorous.
Exactly. And that brings us to the core problem we need to define today. Because the technical risk, it isn't quite what most people assume it is.
Right.
We really need to focus on this concept from our sources.
Yeah.
AI as an amplifier of the average.
This is, I think, the crucial insight for executives. AI systems. Well, they're mathematically built to optimize for what's typical, for general behavior. They find the mean, the average.
Okay.
But think about financial services, whether it's credit risk, market conduct, systemic safety. The things that really matter, the critical risks, the regulatory breaches, the big liability exposures, they're almost always defined by the rare events, the outliers.
So the very system you're building for efficiency is structurally guaranteed to ignore the things that could cause catastrophic failure.
In a sense, yes. It's biased against the exceptions.
Okay. So our mission today, then, is to really outline the specific actions, the governance actions, the technical actions you need to take now to, well, operationalize resilience and build a strong, defensible regulatory position.
Let's start by unpacking that structural vulnerability, the technical failure. It's actually quite insidious. It starts with something we call mismatched confidence.
Right. I've heard the term hallucination is even making its way into boardrooms now. But how does that technical issue, that mismatched confidence, become a compliance problem or a liability issue for a bank or an insurer?
It's all about the presentation, how the AI delivers the information. These systems, especially the complex ones, they can generate outputs that are factually wrong hallucinations, but deliver them with the exact same authoritative tone as correct data.
No different.
None that's obvious to the user. The system's designed to maximize statistical probability, you see. That inherently creates this invisible systematic bias towards what it already knows from its training data.
So let's say the model tries to extrapolate. It's looking to something new, maybe a novel crypto business model or a gig worker's complex income stream it hasn't seen before.
Yeah.
The human operator gets no reliable signal that the AI is basically just guessing. Wildly guessing, even.
Precisely. It generates plausible sounding errors, but gives no warning signal. The human just assumes it's competent. Think of it maybe like a car's GPS trying to navigate through thick fog. If the GPS keeps giving directions in that same authoritative voice, even though it can't actually see the road ahead, you're essentially driving towards a potential crash, but with completely false confidence.
That's a helpful analogy. Let's try and translate that amplifier of the average problem into, say, three key business areas. Maybe start with credit models.
Okay, credit models. They're generally fantastic with typical borrower profiles, standard jobs, standard histories. But they can systematically fail when assessing novel business models or complex, atypical income patterns.
Like the gig economy worker example.
Exactly. A system trained primarily on traditional payway employment history might really struggle with a successful freelancer. Or it might just reject them outright, flagging them as a high-risk outlier simply because they don't fit the historical average it was trained on.
And what about the risk models? The ones we rely on for market stability. If they're only trained on historical normal conditions,
then they become effectively blind to the very things that define a crisis. By definition, a crisis involves outlier events, novel correlations, regime changes the model hasn't seen in its training data.
So can't recognize them.
Structurally, no, it's not equipped for it. We saw this back in 2008, didn't we? Models failed because they were trained to expect normality. When the system broke, the models offered no real warning, just false assurance based on past data.
Okay, and the third area, compliance. Systems optimized for general compliance. They might churn through millions of transactions efficiently, but they're looking for common types of deviation, right?
Yes, they're good at finding the average, obvious rule breaking. But they often miss the subtle, rare, but absolutely crucial deviations, the ones that might indicate sophisticated market abuse or complex fraud.
So if the AI is only good at catching the average crime,
It creates a massive blind spot, a gap where the really high-impact, low-probability events can slip through. And that's what defines serious regulatory liability. As the source material really stresses, the emerging systemic risk isn't really about rogue algorithms.
It's about the governance.
It's about governance that drastically overestimates the AI's actual capability and, crucially, its calibration. How well it knows what it doesn't know.
Which brings us straight to the boardroom, and specifically, the UK regulatory environment, under the Senior Managers and Certification Regime, SMNCR. Well, the link between unmanaged AI risk and personal failure looks pretty direct, non-negotiable almost.
It is direct. If the confidence of your AI system isn't rigorously measured, if it isn't quantified, if you don't actually know the boundaries of its competence, then that risk is, by definition, unmanaged.
And a regulatory failure linked to that AI
won't be seen as just a technical glitch. It'll likely be interpreted as a failure of governance assurance, a failure of operational resilience. And that points squarely at the relevant senior management function holder, the SMF holder.
But how does, say, the FCA trace that failure back specifically to the SMF holder? If a credit model wrongly rejects a qualified applicant who just happens to be an outlier, how does that become an individual's accountability issue?
Because the SMF holder's remit includes managing material risks and ensuring operational resilience. If you, as an SMF holder, sign off on using a model where the competence boundaries aren't quantified, and that model demonstrably creates a bias, perhaps against an atypical but perfectly legitimate client group, thereby exposing the firm to discrimination risk, for example, well, you failed to manage a material risk.
So the AI's failure to flag the outlier or its incorrect assessment
becomes evidence of the governance gap, and the SMF holder is personally accountable for that gap existing and not being addressed. Put simply, unquantified AI models are unassessed liabilities on your books.
Those are the, let's say, the inherent risks baked into the technology and the governance framework. But what happens when this lack of governance actually impacts the balance sheet? Or maybe worse, the firm's reputation? Let's look at some real-world examples. Organizations that perhaps followed that deploy first, govern later approach.
Unfortunately, this failure pattern is quite consistent. It often starts with losing customer confidence and trust. Then it can quickly escalate to significant regulatory penalties and serious reputational damage.
Like the Apple Card incident back in 2019. That wasn't just a minor glitch, was it? It felt like a clear example of this amplifier of the average problem.
Exactly. The AI driving the creditworthiness model faced accusations of gender bias. It led to a regulatory investigation and obviously severe damage to their reputation.
Because the model amplified.
It amplified historical averages, presumably from its training data, the typical financial patterns it learned. And in doing so, it penalized atypical user profiles, which, in that specific case, happened to correlate with gender. It basically treated legitimate but different financial behavior as an outlier risk, a clear failure of fairness.
And the financial hit can be huge, too. Mm-hmm. We saw the Alliance Global case more recently in 2024. They ended up settling with the U.S. SEC for $170 million.
Yes, that was a situation where they replaced human traders with an AI algorithm that simply underperformed. It demonstrates the very steep cost when an unproven model fails to match the human expertise it was supposed to replace.
But for sheer speed and scale of systemic amplification, maybe the Knight Capital event in 2012, even though it's older, it's stark.
Absolutely stark. A technical deployment error cascaded into a $440 million loss in just 45 minutes. It's probably the clearest example of what happens when an outlier event triggers correlated automated AI responses across systems.
It shows how quickly a localized technical fault can scale up
into a catastrophic systemic financial loss, because the automated systems just amplified the initial error across the market at machine speed.
The lesson seems clear across all these cases. Effective risk mitigation for AI. Well, it can't just be bolted on afterwards.
No, it needs a comprehensive, cohesive approach. It has to span the technology itself, corporate governance, and your day-to-day operational procedures.
Okay, so let's turn to the action plan. What needs to be done? Our sources distill the mitigation strategies down into four core imperatives for senior leaders.
Right. These are really the key technical and procedural mandates that executives need to enforce now to get ahead of this regulatory curve.
So thinking technically, what's the single most important requirement we need to mandate right now?
Without doubt, it's mandating uncertainty quantification, UQ. It has to be a core design requirement for any high-stakes system.
Explain UQ a bit more. How does it work?
Essentially, the system must be able to reliably quantify the confidence of its predictions. It can't just spit out a result. It needs to tell you, I am very confident in this answer. Or, crucially, warning. I am operating outside my validated comfort zone right now. UQ is that mechanism.
How is that different from the standard accuracy metrics we already look at? F1 scores, precision, recall.
Accuracy tells you about past performance, how well the model did on historical test data. UQ is instantaneous. It's the system's self-assessment of its competence in the moment it makes a specific decision.
Okay, so it's forward-looking in a way.
Exactly. And prioritizing calibration, ensuring the UQ scores are reliable, means that high-risk extrapolations, those guesses outside its known data, get automatically flagged. They must be flagged for human intervention. If your AI doesn't know when it's guessing, it's fundamentally an unmanaged liability.
Got it. So technical requirement number one, mandate UQ. What's the second critical layer? It sounds like it has to be governance, specifically using the framework we already have.
Yes. Establish clear, unambiguous accountability via SMNCR. You have to leverage the SMNCR framework, explicitly map out who owns AI oversight, who owns the validation responsibilities.
So it's not diffused across teams.
Precisely. You need to embed individual accountability for managing these specific outlier risks. You should be able to look at your process map and know definitively. If the UQ flags an unusual transaction as low confidence, and that transaction is still approved, and then it results in a regulatory breach, which specific SMF holder is accountable for the validation framework that allowed that to happen?
That clarity is key, which leads, I think, directly to the third mandate. This one seems focused on the workforce, on people.
It is. Invest in human oversight capability. And the emphasis here is crucial. Focus on augmentation over replacement, meaning this is critical to counter what's called automation complacency and also to avoid skill atrophy. If the AI handles 99% of the decisions smoothly, your human professionals might gradually lose the ability to spot and diagnose that rare 1% failure when it occurs.
So you need active training.
Mandatory targeted training. Focused specifically on auditing AI outputs, recognizing potential hallucination patterns, and importantly, correctly interpreting those UQ calibration scores we talked about.
So the strategic goal isn't to replace the human, but to use the human expert to supervise the AI, particularly checking its known blind spots.
Exactly right. The human must retain that capacity for skeptical, critical judgment, especially when dealing with edge cases or low confidence outputs flagged by the UQ.
Okay, and the fourth mandate. This one seems proactive, looking towards the EU, but you're saying it offers immediate benefits for UK firms, too.
Yes. Adopt the EU AI Act's high-risk standards proactively. Look, regardless of precisely where UK policy finally lands in relation to the EU AI Act.
Which is still somewhat uncertain.
Right. But treating all your high-stakes AI use cases as if they need to comply with the EU Act's requirements for high-risk systems, things like data quality, rigorous documentation, human oversight that provides the highest baseline for safety.
It sets a high bar internally.
It does. It's arguably the most effective, proactive step you can take right now to ensure global business resilience, especially if you have cross-border operations. And it helps minimize legal liability because it provides a solid blueprint for managing that core amplifier of the average problem.
Okay, those are the four high-level mandates. But to make them truly operational, we need some specific controls, don't we? Things firms can implement immediately. You mentioned moving beyond just standard testing.
Absolutely. You have to enforce adversarial testing. Validation can't just be about checking performance on average test sets anymore.
What does adversarial testing involve?
It means rigorously stress testing the model. You test it against known adversarial edge cases inputs designed specifically to trick it. You test it against rare historical events from your domain. And critically, you test it using data from vulnerable or atypical populations to actively probe for biases. You have to proactively search for failure modes out there in the tail distributions, not just confirm it works well on the average stuff.
And for those decisions that the UQ system does flag as low confidence, what's the mandatory procedure then?
That's where mandatory human in the loop, HILTEC, comes in. You need a hard rule.
Meaning a human must review it.
Yes. HILT ensures that a qualified human professional remains the ultimate decision maker for these flagged high-stakes decisions. It requires independent, expert validation for those critical outlier cases identified by the UQ system. You need to enforce a clear checkpoint where a qualified person reviews all the facts, considers the model's low confidence score, and then explicitly takes ownership of the final decision.
Okay. And finally, using technology itself to help the human. You mentioned explainability.
Yes, specifically techniques like implementing chain of thought explanations where applicable.
How does that help the human auditor?
It allows the practitioner, the compliance officer, the underwriter, whoever, to actually audit the AI's step-by-step reasoning process. It turns the AI from an opaque black box into more of a transparent assistant. This doesn't just build trust, it significantly improves the human's ability to pinpoint where the model might have made an incorrect assumption or taken a wrong turn in its logic.
Right, making the oversight much more effective. So let's pull back to that core tension we started with. It seems the pursuit of algorithmic efficiency, that drive for automation, it structurally increases your exposure to these low probability, high impact failures.
It does. The AI's inherent bias towards the average, the mean, risks systematically erasing or ignoring the critical outliers. The very outliers that are essential for safety, for equity, and ultimately for regulatory defensibility.
And the timeline for addressing this isn't relaxed.
Not at all. This isn't a next year's strategy issue. The accountability expectations for boards and senior managers are clearly rising and fast. We're hearing signals from the FCA, the PRA, the Bank of England about increased scrutiny specifically on AI oversight and resilience coming in 2026.
So the controls we've discussed, UQ, SMNCR mapping, human augmentation, proactive standards, adversarial testing, APTELT, explainability, they need to be put in place now.
Yes, now is the time to establish that defensible framework. Waiting is becoming increasingly risky.
So as you, our listener, move forward with your own AI deployments and governance planning, we'll leave you with this direct question, something to perhaps contemplate regarding your immediate preparedness.
Are we confident our AI systems can actually flag the outlier risks before the regulators do?
That's the critical question. Thank you for joining us on the Deep Dive.